This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil mursaleen Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Land and properties, real estate properties. So as a basic principle, this basic principle, if you memorize it, then inshallah life will be easy. When it comes to, if you have the land, you have properties, there is no zakat on any real estate property, any house, a building, land, unless it is strictly intended for business, for trade. You are a real estate investor, you buy properties, sell them, flip them in the market again. That's the only case you pay zakat on their value, on the value of the real estate property, the land or the house or the building. So there is no zakat unless the intention is to buy and sell and make a profit. Then in this case, you treat it like a regular any merchandise and you pay zakat on the value of this property. Value. If it's $500,000, you pay zakat on $500,000. Right? If it is for business. Now, if it is a rental property, you don't pay zakat on the value of the property, you pay zakat on the rental income. Rental income. You add it to your savings and you pay zakat at the end of the year. If you say, I don't know what to do with it, I just bought it and it's there, I don't know what to do. This is very common. People buy houses, they buy apartment or land, piece of land, and they said, I'm not sure. I don't know what to do with it. Maybe for my children. Maybe I'll rent it in the future. They're not sure. There is no zakat on it. There is no zakat on it. You have to have the intention of doing business, selling it again in the market and make money out of it. Then in this case, you pay zakat on the value of this property. If you change your mind, like let's say you bought this house for your children. When they grow up, you get married, they can live in this house, right? But you change your mind and you want to sell it, there is no zakat on it until you sell it. You sell it, you get cash in your hand, then you pay zakat on this, on the value of this house after you sell it, if you change your mind. Stay for a year, if you want to be in the safe side, you can pay right away. And then you pay next year if it stays with you, if you don't buy another property. But you can follow this opinion. I said to be in the safe side, you pay right away. If you want to keep it till 1 year, that's okay, that's fine. Because the intention in the beginning was not to make business, to make money out of it. It was to keep it for children or keep it for yourself. Or, you see what I'm saying? So you change your mind, that's a different story. So it has to be for trading. Trading, right? You are a real estate investor buying and selling properties. In this case, you pay zakat on the value of the properties. Yes, Brother Afzal. Net. Yeah. Whatever is spent on other things, like method to do some renovation or whatever, that's okay. You don't have to worry about it. So we don't pay zakat on the income that we make in the year. We pay zakat on the savings. Yeah. So do you have a question about this? Yeah. I said, and it's not for business. You're not selling it. Yeah. Your intention is not to sell it and make money out of it. So there is no zakat on it. Yeah, it's very simple, very straightforward, right? You don't pay zakat on it, on the value of the property, unless your intention is trading, is to buy and sell. Is that clear, Ikhwan? Okay, now who receives the zakat? First of all, I would like to say that, when it comes to giving zakat, or sending zakat overseas, right? Sending your zakat to other countries. We need to know that in Islam, we are supposed to fulfill the needs of the local community in Islam. Then if we feel that the needs of the local community are met and people are doing fine, or there is, or we're dealing with emergencies in a different country, there is an emergency, people need help, like in Palestine these days, Gaza, and some other places, then okay, it's fine to send your zakat to these places. That's fine. So both of them are fine. Both of them, we're paying locally or sending overseas, sending your zakat back home. Both options are fine. But Islamically, we are supposed to fulfill the needs of the local community before we send our zakat overseas. Okay? Now, that's why this organization was established, and it's called National Zakat Foundation. What is the purpose of this organization? Is to fulfill the needs of the local people. So they give zakat in Canada. They don't send it overseas. They don't have this mandate. They collect money in Canada, and they distribute it here in Canada. They give to families who are in need. Now, when it comes to families in need, we have a misconception that everyone is doing fine here. Right? Because the government is helping people. Right? This is the concept that we have. But it is a misconception. Because life is very expensive. People receive some money from the government, but their life is very limited. Their financial means will be limited. Why? Now we have in Islam fuqara and masakeen. We'll talk about that. Poor people and those in need. What is the difference between them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned 8 categories. إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ He started with the fuqara. We can call them in English poor people. These people, either they don't have an income at all, or their income, I will give you a number. It will make it easy for you to distinguish between fuqara and masakeen. They have an income, but their income is less than 50% of what they need for the whole year. Let's say a family needs 40,000 for the whole year to cover their basic needs. Now their income is less than 20,000. They need 40,000, but their income is less than 20,000. 15,000. These are fuqara, right? Masakeen, their situation is better. So they need 40,000 for the whole year. Their income is more than 50,000, but is less than what they need. Let's say it's 30,000. They're still short of this 10,000. So we have people who are masakeen here. They're receiving some money from the government, but they're masakeen. They deserve zakat. They deserve our help. Single mother. We have cases we're dealing at ISC. We have a list of families, like maybe around 100 families. We help them on a regular basis. On a monthly basis, we distribute food hampers every month. We have families, single mother, she doesn't have a job. She has 4 or 5 children. The husband died or divorced her. He got married or left the country. And she's struggling with her children. So these people are not able to meet the basic needs with the income that comes to them from the government. And you guys who have families, you know how much you are spending. You know how much you are spending on a regular basis to cover the basic needs of your children and your families. You know that very well. Anyway, so poor people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started with them, so we give them priority. Right? Al-masakeen, as I said, their situation is better than the poor people, than the fuqara. But they still deserve to receive zakat. Employed to collect, distribute the zakat. Some ulama, they said, they are only the ones who were employed by a Muslim government. At the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they were employed by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or employed by the Khulafa al-Rashidun. And they used to work in the zakat department. So their salary would come from zakat money. The government was not paying them from the other sources. They were paying their salaries from zakat money. Because they are taking care of the zakat department. They used to take care of it. They used to collect zakat and distribute it among the poor and the needy. So that was a full-time job for these people, right? They didn't have another source of income. Even if they were rich, they're doing a job. They were doing a job and they deserve to be paid a salary. those inclined towards accepting Islam. So there are different interpretations, but in general, you know, there are some ulama, they said, it's only about those who are leaders or intellectuals, professors, they have a status in the community. We give them from the zakat. If they accept Islam, they will have an influence on other people. So leaders within their communities. This is one interpretation, right? There are some other ulama who said you can give it to anyone you feel that he's inclined towards accepting Islam, to encourage them to accept Islam. Allahu alam. It can be used for this purpose, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Captives and slaves. Slaves, we don't have slaves, but this is something beautiful about Islam, that even slaves, you give them zakat, so they can buy their freedom. Because in the old days, slaves, they used to pay their masters. But then he bought them for 10,000. He bought the person for 10,000. And he was working for him as a slave. And he will tell him, if you pay me your money back, my money back, I'll give you your freedom, you become a free person. So Islam was encouraging people to give these people zakat and give them sadaqah so they can pay their masters their money and then they become free. This is how Islam encouraged people to free slaves. And there are other ways. This is only one way. There are other ways. That's why slaves in Islamic history, many of them became leaders and they became great scholars. They became great scholars. You know, they make in the West, they make a big mistake when they compare their history. The history of their own slavery. They were used to go to Africa. They capture slaves, people, free people, not slaves. They were free people. They capture them, they bring them to Brazil, and they bring them to US, and they abuse them. That was not the case with our history, with Islamic history. You know, there was one story, subhanAllah, it's amazing. There was a female slave, she used to do Qiyam al-Layl every night. So her master, he was a pious man, he used to do Qiyam al-Layl all the time, pray at night and everything. He sold her to another family. Another family. Before Fajr, 1 hour, 2 hours before Fajr, she went knocking the door on them. And then the guy said, why are you knocking the door? She said, you guys, you don't pray Qiyam al-Layl? We don't do Qiyam al-Layl? And he said, no, we only pray Fajr. We wake up at Fajr. So she went to her previous master and she said, you sold me to a bad family, very bad family. They don't do Qiyam al-Layl. I want to go back to your family. So these are, and some of them, as I said, became scholars, they became leaders. One time, the governor of Mecca wanted to meet Umar ibn Khattab, who was coming from Medina to visit Mecca. SubhanAllah, he wanted to appoint someone in his place as a governor, and he appointed a freed slave. Why? Because he said this guy memorized the Quran, he knew the ilm of al-mawarith, he became a scholar. So he appointed him as a governor in his place. And Umar ibn Khattab, when he knew about it, he said, Rasulullah s.a.w. said, يَرْفَعُ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ بِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ أَقْوَامٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise the rank of some people with this Qur'an. Right? He memorized the Qur'an, he became a scholar, so he deserved to be to have a place of authority. So anyway, a position of authority. We should distinguish between our Islamic history and the history of Europeans when it comes to slavery. Those in debt. Now, we said you are not allowed to give your parents zakat. You're not allowed to give your children zakat. If they are in debt, they have a liability, you can give them zakat. You cannot give zakat to your parents to support them so they can spend on themselves, to fulfill their basic needs. But you are allowed in this case to give them from zakat so they can pay their debt. And a father is allowed to give zakat to his child in this case only. Right? If he needs money for food or other basic needs, you cannot give him zakat. You have to spend on your child. But if he went to university, let's say he went to university and he got a loan, a provincial loan, and then he had to pay it back. You are allowed to give him from your zakat so he can pay his loan back. So, and other family members you can give them, of course, you know, brothers and sisters, you can give them at all time, even if they need money to fulfill their basic needs, food and shelter and clothes, brothers and sisters, cousins, uncles, you can give them from your zakat. In the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fi sabilillah, in the old days, it was given to those who volunteered with Muslim armies. So basically, they were not employed by the government to be soldiers, to be members of the Muslim army, but they volunteered to be volunteers with Muslim armies to do jihad fi sabilillah. That is the interpretation of many classical scholars. Some other scholars added another way. They said it is okay, it is permissible to give zakat for da'wah projects and schools if the purpose of this da'wah project and masajid and schools is to preserve the identity of Muslim communities, members of the Muslim community, especially children, especially in the West. And we follow this opinion. We follow this opinion. This is a discussion that took place between Muslim scholars, and this is what many Muslim scholars follow. They said it's okay. It is fi sabilillah. If it is for ta'lim, for the purpose of ta'lim, da'wah, to preserve, to protect the identity of Muslim children or Muslim communities in the West or other places where the government doesn't spend on these projects. Because even back home in some other communities, the government does not spend on the masajid. There are people who are paying for this, for the construction of this masajid and some private schools. Of course, if private school is a business, you don't give them zakat if it is a business. In some other countries, it is a business established by some people, some business people, they come together and they establish private school and they're charging fees, right? You don't give them zakat, this is a business. But a Muslim school that was established by a community and they need help, the purpose of this school is not to make money, just to pay the teachers and pay the expenses of this school. And the purpose, and it is an Islamic school, they're teaching them Quran, Islamic studies, and the purpose is to protect, as I said, the identity of these children and teach them Islam, then it is permissible. Wallahu ta'ala alam. The stranded traveler, someone who was stranded somewhere, he was traveling, he could be rich in his country, he has money. This is a case that took place, that happened, that was possible in the old days. In the old days where people don't have means of communication, no cell phone, no bank account, no credit card, no Western Union. Nowadays, it's not possible. If someone goes to the UK, for example, or goes to Europe, and he lost everything, lost his wallet or everything, it's easy for him. Just call his wife or his children. They will send him money, right? It's easy. But in the old days, he could be traveling. He traveled like he's from Basra. He went to Khorasan in Pakistan or other countries, and then he lost everything. He lost his money. He had his money with him. He lost everything. He's rich back home, but there is no way to communicate with his family. There is no way in the old days. And he might need like 1 month to reach his family and go back home. So this person in the old days, if he asked for zakat, they were given zakat to reach, to, you know, of course, to sustain themselves, to support themselves, and also to reach, to be able to get back to their homes and to their hometowns and their countries. So these are the eight categories of people who deserve to receive zakat. They are recipients of zakat. And this is the end of this presentation. If you have a question, sisters, if you have another question, you can write it down. I hope I answered your question. Question number one, how to calculate. You have 18 carats of gold. How to calculate pure gold. Gold, I said 85 grams of pure gold. If you have that, then you have the nisab and you need to pay zakat based on the Hanafi madhab. If you're talking about jewelry. But Jumhur ulama, they said it is not an obligation upon a woman who owns jewelry for personal use to pay zakat on it. And we mentioned the nisab, amount on gold. Any other question? Tfadl. Yeah. It goes under fi sabilillah.
To?
The poor and the poor and the needy, this is the first category and the second. But there are six other categories. Allah mentioned them in Ayah 60 in Surah At-Tawbah. Open Surah At-Tawbah, go to Ayah 60. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned eight categories. So the scholars did not make up these stories here. They got these eight categories from this ayah. إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْعَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا وَفِي الرِّقَابِ. Yani this ayah in Surah At-Tawbah, Ayah 60. That's a good point. It becomes a personal choice. It becomes a personal choice. Yani even giving the masajid is not something that the ulama agreed upon, right? So in ISC, we prefer to be honest with people and tell them there are two opinions. Some of the people prefer to give it to the masajid and Islamic schools. Or they make a balance. They give some to their family members. They send some to Palestine. They give some of their zakat to the masjid. It's up to them, right? So you tell people what is there, and they make the choice, right? We don't push for this one or this one. But Islamically, we tell people it's always better to give it a family member who is in need, a family member who is faqir or miskeen. If he's doing well, you don't give them zakat. It's haram to give them zakat. But why a family member? Because you get rewarded from both ways, giving them zakat and keeping the ties of kinship, keeping silat al-rahim. So the rewards will be multiplied when you give it to a family member.
What is the advantage of paying zakat in Ramadan different than the other?
There is no advantage. There is no advantage. Well, Ramadan is good. There is no hadith about the preference of giving zakat in Ramadan. Yeah, I heard about this hadith. There is one hadith that is not authentic. It says everything you do in Ramadan, the reward of everything you do will be multiplied into 70. This hadith is not authentic. Yeah. So what is we know about the excellence of fasting in Ramadan, and it is an obligation. The excellence of reading the Quran, reciting the Quran, excellence of making dua, excellence of doing taraweeh, qiyam al-layl. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to mention qiyam al-layl, the Qiyam of Laylat al-Qadr, right? Quran and Ramadan will make intercession for you, Shafa'a, on your behalf on the Day of Judgment. Sadaqat, of course, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be very generous in Ramadan. But there is no specific hadith that says if you give zakat in Ramadan, then it is preferred and your rewards will be multiplied. As I said before, if a person delays the payment of his zakat in Ramadan for no valid reason, he could be sinful. Because zakat is it's an obligation that needs to be observed right away when it is due, right? If someone delays it by 1 week or two for some valid reasons, he's looking for someone, he's trying to make his own assessment, who deserves my zakat, should I send it back home, should I keep it here in Canada? So if he was undecided for 1 week or two, that's fine, but no more than that. Okay, we'll finish with the right side and we go around, inshallah. Yes? Yeah, Islamically, you are supposed to fulfill the needs of the local people. If you decide, you say, me, Ammar, you say, okay, maybe people are doing fine here, but I feel like in Palestine they are suffering, they are struggling. I want to send it to Palestine, that's fine. That's right. That's a good reason to send it back home. If they are not here, that's a good reason, yeah, to send it back home if you want to send it. This is one of the reasons that is mentioned by the ulama. Yes, we go this way. Yes, brother. Tfaddal. Yeah, we heard, yeah, this is weird, right? I didn't think that this will happen in Canada. But lately, in 2025 or 2024-25, we heard that some Sudanese refugees and Palestinian refugees are not receiving anything from the government. They told them to wait until you get a refugee status, and then they start giving them. For the waiting period was between 3 months to 6 months. Yeah, of course, they are in need. You don't have to think that they are stranded travelers. They are masakin, they are poor. I mean, they don't have money. They came from Palestine and Sudan, and they are here, and they're not receiving any money from the government. This is the first time I heard about it this year, right? So these people deserve our zakat. Yes, brother. Yeah, you are a short-term trader, right? Yeah, you pay zakat on the value of 20, yeah, even if you lost 30,000, because it's more than the nisab. It's more than the nisab, yeah. You save money from this rental income. You're spending it on your family.
Yes.
And at the end of the year, no saving is left.
Yes.
There is no zakat. Yeah? You pay zakat on what is left in your hand at the end of the year. Yes. Tfaddal.
If you give a loan to a family member.
Okay.
And your
money is coming back. Yeah, confident. Yeah. He's struggling. You cannot turn it into a zakat, first of all. You cannot turn it into a zakat, no. When you gave it to him, it was a loan. That's out of the question. Secondly, if you still want him to pay you this money, but because of his situation, you decided at a certain point that this should be classified as a bad loan because I don't know when I'm going to receive my money. You have the right to do that.
Okay.
It's your decision. You decide this is a bad loan, then you start excluding it. You don't pay zakat on it. If you get your money back after 10 years, are you going to pay zakat on the last 10 years? You don't. There are two opinions. They said you add it to your saving. Pay zakat on it on your zakat anniversary. Another opinion, valid opinion, they said it's better to pay zakat for 1 year. Yet it stayed with him for 10 years. Pay only for 1 year and then add it to your savings and start paying on it every year. Unless you spend it, that's a different story. You have the choice, either to pay for 1 year only or add it to your savings and don't pay on it because this is a decision by a major fiqh council. Right? Is that clear? Tfadli Hajj.
What about somebody who pays the tab on the interest?
We don't. He's not supposed to. Yeah, if you have an interest income, you're supposed to give it as a donation. You don't get the reward of a sadaqah, but you could be rewarded for your desire to purify your income, purify your wealth. But you don't pay zakat on it. Does he deserve zakat? Okay, now we have a prisoner, someone in jail, and he killed someone, he committed a crime. You can help him with zakat in one case, if you are sure and confident that he made tawbah and he became a better Muslim, and he will not do it again. So you don't pay a criminal with your zakat. Right? You're sure that this guy is, or the other case, you are 100% sure that he's innocent. He was sent to jail for no valid reason. He's innocent. You are allowed to pay money from collect zakat to get him out because you are confident that he's innocent. Or he made the crime, but he made tawbah. He became a better person, and you want to help him. You want to support him, get him out from that's permissible. Wallahu ta'ala. Yes.
Wa yak.
نعم
زكاة فور سيك بيبل
Zakat for sick people. Someone sick in the hospital. Yeah, if he's not able to pay for it, to pay for the fees, then you can give him zakat. Right? But it has to be a real sickness. Yeah, you know, it's not something else. Not a plastic surgery. It has to be a sickness, yani. Someone is sick and he needs help. Taib, we're done? We still have questions here. This corner? You guys have many questions here. Okay, let's give a chance to this brother. It's okay, Ammar, we'll come back to you. It's their obligation. It's their obligation. Yeah? Yeah, it's their obligation to collect. But they collect usually from what appears to people. Like, مثلا, you have a business, everyone is able to see it. If you have something cash inside in your home as a saving, you don't have to go into your house and check what you have. It's your responsibility between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a government is supposed to collect from visible, tangible assets. Like, let's say you have a farm and you have 100 cows. So it's visible. Everyone knows that you have 100 cows. So the government is allowed to come to this kind type of wealth and take zakat from it. Whatever is hidden at home, it's your responsibility. Tfadl.
So is it haram to take
But it was his turn. I was talking to him. It's okay, we'll give him a chance. Go ahead.
So is it haram to take a loan from the bank and give it as a zakat?
Why would you do that? Take a loan, haram loan from the bank and give it as a zakat? Yeah. So zakat is only obligatory on people who are wealthy. They have money, right? You don't have to take a loan to pay zakat. Yes?
Is it better to give zakat to one person or to several?
It's your decision. If you feel like there is one person who needs help, you give him zakat, he will be able to open a business, will do something with it to suffice his needs in the future. Could be a good idea. But if you feel like there are other families and they are struggling, and I don't want to prefer this family, give them everything and leave the rest of the families, I know all of them, I'm going to distribute it. That's okay. It's another option. You make the decision. Tfadl. So, okay, he goes back home and there are people who come to him and they ask for zakat. He's not sure if they deserve it or not. Okay, when you are not sure, then you try your best. You try your best to verify their situation. Right? To verify. Maybe asking their neighbors, maybe asking other family members. You need to double check. Now, if you find information that you are not sure about it 100%, you got some information about them, but 80%, you could say 80%, you can work with 80%, make a decision based on ghalabat al-dhan. You most likely believe that they need zakat, right? They are in need of this money. You can give them based on this conclusion, even if it is not yaqeen, not certainty 100%, right? But you believe that yes, could be legitimate. Most likely it is legitimate, so you can give them. Otherwise, give them from regular sadaqah if you are able to. Yes?
No.
Okay, jazakumullah khair. We're done?
Yep.
Tfaddal. Last question? Khalas, this is the last question, Brother Muhammad Yusuf. Tfaddal. You borrow money from your RSP account in your home.
In that situation, do I need to pay a zakat on anything?
You put it in the home. Khalas, you put it in the home before your zakat anniversary, right?
Yes.
Let's say zakat anniversary in Ramadan. 2 months before Ramadan, you bought this house. You took this 50,000, you put it in the house. No zakat.
Okay. Even if I I am borrowing myself, because I need to repay back that amount.
You're borrowing, using basically, in the sight of the government, you're borrowing from your RSP account. But in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is your money. You're using it to buy a house.
I'm not aware of this situation.
No. You put it in the house. That's it. Now, whatever you save again in the RSP account in the future, you pay zakat on it. In the future. Okay? Jazakumullah.